Hey everybody, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
See you all. I'm good. Yep, doing well. Okay, we have a smaller group today, it looks like, at least at this moment. That's okay. Today we restart the 12 weeks of sort of teaching that I do. So this is the kind of foundational piece of work today where I'll talk about a little deeper stuff around the emotional system that we've been talking about. And so it should be fun and interesting. I'll just get started and people will join when they join. Let's see here. Start sharing my screen. Oh, I'm wondering if this is going to work. Let's see. Had those problems lately. Let's find out if this works. Looks like, are you guys able to see my screen okay?
Yes.
Yep.
Is quiet quitting real?
It really is. It sure is.
Yeah. And then when I advance a slide, are you able to see that? Does it move around?
It gets bigger and smaller. Yeah.
All right. So this is sort of a high level frame of something that has been going on. I'm sure you guys have heard of it. It affects some sectors more than other sectors. Quiet quitting became notorious, or it was also called the Great Resignation, really during and after COVID. And there are lots of reasons for that, but it really only accelerated something that was already happening and in the works. And what it effectively means is that people haven't actually changed that much. What changed were options. And so there are a couple of key big trends that are happening in the world that are leading to this phenomenon, and COVID merely activated it in a big way. And then it just, once it started, it was going. What I want to do is just talk through a couple of big points here. Number one, at least half the workforce is quiet quitting. According to Gallup, managers are essential in combating this. So a big part of what impacts quiet quitting is how a manager shows up. 70% of the reason somebody leaves their job is almost always a direct result of who their immediate supervisor is. So it's just a huge driver of people's engagement. It says that CEOs are worried about quiet quitting. This is really affecting like big, huge companies, like dramatically, and in some cases quite disastrously, because they have just so many positions to fill. And there are a couple of reasons behind this. One is they call it soul-crushing dead-end jobs. That's probably true when people feel they're not really going anywhere. But I want to talk a bit about the trends that are happening that are leading to this. So when I say people haven't changed, only our choices have, here's what I really mean. One is population banding in the US. We're seeing smaller and smaller generations coming through the ranks. And as a consequence, there are quite literally a labor shortage crisis. It's global. It's a global labor shortage crisis, but it's actually starting to happen in the US as well. And so companies are trying to figure out how they can do that. Now, I know that there is a recent round of layoffs and threats and a contraction, and that's affecting certain people. Obviously, Ali among them maybe is feeling some of that, but that is super temporary. And that is going to, you know, the larger trend is truly not enough workers. And the second big thing that's really impacting this is the gig economy. So Dorothy knows a lot about this. She is starting a big business called The Gig, which is supporting people who are going to be gig workers. So the gig economy, you know, the crazy thing about it is, sorry, did I just stop sharing? No, okay, we're good. The crazy thing about this is that you could, if you are offering somebody a $70,000 to $80,000 a year job, it would be just as easy for them to go out and put together a few gigs. It could be Turo, Uber, Lyft, Uber Eats. It could be freelancing on a website. It could be any number of things. You could easily put together a competitive salary that you would, you know, working for a company. And what really happened was there are a few things that are going on, right? So a big part of this is just the emotional system. So 80% of decisions and behavior in a team are governed by this thing I call the emotional system. And I discovered this when I worked as a church leader, basically. So here's how most people think about work. I pay you, you do your job, and then we should be good. What most people fail to understand is that there's this huge iceberg beneath the surface called the emotional system, defined as how I feel about the work I'm doing and how I feel about the people I work with and for. That is, each individual brings that to their work life. And then if you put that in aggregate, and then you have a leader that has their own emotional system, now you have what's called a complex emotional system. Lots of different people feeling lots of different things that are driving all of these decisions. So let's just talk about what is driving the emotional system. And this is one of the things that I always teach is companies and leaders would do a lot better if they understood that everybody has three jobs when they're hired. And you're actually technically hiring someone for the third job. So you're third in line in terms of importance. And so the first job that everybody has, they were given when they were born. And that job is to effectively be fulfilled or find a purpose or live the life they most want to live. That is a responsibility to say, I came into this world, I was given these gifts, these limits, these abilities. How should I express them in the world? And how will I do that in a way that's going to bring joy? And so what's my superpower and how am I going to manifest that? That's job number one. They had it when they were born. They're going to have it until they die. Job number two is to grow, you know. From a very early age, I had to learn how to crawl and I had to learn how to walk. Then I learned how to run a spreadsheet. You know, maybe not that there was little steps missing in between, but that was the big idea, is that there's this ongoing evolution that's happening, that growth and learning is a really critical part of someone's life. And they will have it from the beginning and they'll have it until they die. And then the third job is the one we hire people for, and that's to perform. We expect people to do a certain job, and each individual wants to perform. We want to show up and make an impact and demonstrate that we're good at something and we're competent and all that. And the hope is that it's something that creates fulfillment and allows you to learn along the way. So these three things, to find joy, to learn, and to perform, are essential in understanding the emotional system, because the first two jobs live below the line and you are not paying people for those jobs. You're only paying people for the third job. Companies that see this and know this and account for those first two jobs will outperform companies that don't when it comes to recruitment and retention and performance. So all of these things impact each other too, right? So you can imagine that if I'm really fulfilled, I feel super alive in what I'm doing, I'm obviously going to perform better. And when I perform better, it's going to make me feel more fulfilled. Nobody goes to your workplace and goes, I really hope I do a bad job. I really hope I let people down. I really hope I get fired soon, right? So when I'm performing, it's also helping with the fulfillment. When I'm growing, when I'm learning, when I feel like I'm learning new skills, I will be more fulfilled. When I'm more fulfilled, then maybe I want to grow and expand. Maybe I'm really good at this. I want to see how good I can get. I want to grow and learn. When I'm growing and learning, I might be performing better, learning new skills. When I perform better, I'm going to start to grow more, because each new level opens up a new door and a new pathway for me to learn and grow. So these are a really important ecology of jobs that every single person in your organization is operating off of unconsciously. And so organizations that directly deal with those in a conscious way, acknowledges and works with those things openly, they generally get way better performance, higher employee engagement, better talent attraction and retention. So all of module one, by the way, elements of this are found in module one. Some of the stuff we're going to talk about is not in module one, but all of this is something that in module one, I talk about all the rituals, tools, and processes you can start to implement to influence these three jobs. Today, I'm just giving you the conceptual high level. I'm not going to go into the mechanics of it that you can go deeper in if you're wanting to go deeper to understand it. But that's where like vision, mission, values, how values are built, how they're lived in the organization, how you do change management, those series of conversations all drive these three things. So, you know, I've had several companies that quite literally put this into their like onboarding. They'll literally say, when you come to this company, we recognize you have two jobs before the one I've hired you for. I've hired you for your third job. And while I'm not paying you for the first two jobs, I care about them. And we acknowledge them, we recognize them. And so we want you to be aware and care about them too, because we know it matters. Even that acknowledgement, just framing it, and then that starts to help people. So comments or questions about any of this before we go to the next thing? All righty.
Yeah, I was going to say that I already watched this and I started incorporating it kind of in my company, awesome, and explaining it. But it also, it means that I'm growing and I'm becoming more fulfilled. So it's not any, it's a reciprocal effect. So whatever we introduce into our company, we're also growing and changing too. So it's going to make everything, everybody feel better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. You're a part of that emotional system. You're not presiding over it. You have one of your own, and how yours shows up and is activated or not activated will directly impact how you lead. So it's really critical for you to be paying attention to, how am I doing? Am I finding joy in my work, or am I just in a slog? Do I feel like I'm learning or growing, or do I just feel stale and doing a repetitive task? That's going to be really critical for you to lead others. Great, great observation. Okay, so just a couple of observations here now about, like, I'm going to use gig as like a generic placeholder, and I'll use corporate as a generic placeholder. I don't literally mean those two things. Gig can mean a lot of things, but it just means I don't want to go work for somebody else. And corporate doesn't mean a big company. It could be you're an entrepreneur and you have a job and you hire employees, right? So here's what happened. When you look at the choices, you know, for years, going and working for someone, being an employee, meant two major things, security and belonging. Well, what happened after COVID was people started to go, well, I don't even know that I get security anymore if I go get hired, because I can get fired or laid off or whatever. So I don't even know that there's security there. So maybe the gig economy is a better deal because, yeah, I lose some belonging, I lose some connection, but at least, you know, I'm as insecure or secure, at least my destiny's in my own hands. And the gig economy requires almost no upfront investment the way running a business does. Starting your own business is a huge upfront investment of time, learning, potentially capital. What a gig provides is autonomy and empowerment. And what you see here are underlying human needs that all humans need on some level. We all need security. We all need belonging. We all need autonomy. We all need empowerment. And you can see how these two sectors line up with a particular strength. And so one of the ways that I help organizations compete against this great resignation and the quiet quitting and the gig economy is to begin to activate autonomy and empowerment as key parts of how you operate your business, so that people get to feel that sense of belonging and autonomy and empowerment, not just one. So I think that right now, autonomy and empowerment are winning out. I don't think they'll always win out. I think it's sort of a cultural trend, but it's growing in its preference for a lot of people. And we're going to talk about each of those. So first of all, let's just talk about making sure you've activated the biggest strength you have, which is belonging. So a key question is, how are you creating connection? So you may or may not have connection as one of your core values, but connection is a really big differentiator for someone who's working in the gig economy, which tends to be just a bit more autonomous and or a little bit more isolating in some cases. So when you create that connection and that sense of belonging, your organization becomes a lot stickier. And we've already talked about some of these when we talk about meeting protocols. So I've already introduced like one little thing, which is how you do check-ins at the beginning of a meeting creates that sense of connection and belonging. How you do check-ins and one-on-ones, how you ask questions. There is, I believe, in module 4, near the very end, there's a conversation I call the zipper conversation, which is like how to have a one-to-one quarterly that creates a sense of connection and belonging. So there's a couple of key things there that I think are important. But you know, you might just want to reflect on these questions for your own organization. So the first question is, what currently creates meaningful connection in your organization? What do you think you've got already that you can continue to leverage? What have you wanted to implement that you just haven't yet? Something you've been thinking about that you're like, I think it'd be good to get around to that. What would it mean to kick it off sooner? What would it mean to integrate it starting soon? And then maybe just write down one new idea that gets sparked by this conversation today. You know, you don't have to write it down right now, but as we're going through, I'll give some examples, I'll make suggestions, I'll probably talk and I'll give you some extreme examples that might provoke some new ideas for how you can create connection, autonomy, or empowerment. So now we're going to talk about autonomy next. So autonomy is just another word for freedom, that sense of choice. I have the freedom to do what I want to do, when I want to do, how I want to do it. That's the most, you know, dramatic form of autonomy. And there's this really interesting study about various organizations that have taken on kind of radical autonomy. And so there are examples of organizations like, what is the name of that company? I think it's called Morningstar. I can't quite remember, but there are companies that have literally done away with managers entirely, like really big companies, global companies. So there was an energy company, EAS, that in the 80s eliminated all hierarchy from a 4,000 person company. And they turned each individual person into effectively a consultant for the company. And their job was to, if they wanted to start something, do something, change something, even design a role for themselves, their only requirement was they had to use the consulting process. And that meant they had to go schedule meetings with the key stakeholders that would be affected by this thing. So you could have like a frontline employee saying, oh, I want to have a meeting with the CEO because I want to redesign my job to go to Pakistan and see if we can work with the Ministry of Defense there to develop an energy policy. And then the CEO and the board and anybody else that they think are the right levels would engage in those conversations. Now, this stuff is I'm not suggesting you need to do this. I'm just trying to plant really like radical seeds so you can start to go, huh, what would it mean to free and liberate people to have greater sense of choice? There's also ways to introduce this feeling of autonomy, which we've already talked about for those of you that have been on the calls, where I talk about staging the ascent. The change management process I teach, at the heart of it is introducing the feeling of autonomy and freedom, the experience of micro choice. So you don't just have to have like, oh, we're going to get rid of managers. Everybody's free to do whatever they want. You can also start thinking about how do I introduce those little tiny micro choices along the way so that people feel the freedom that they need to feel and they will feel more respected. So that's an example of kind of autonomy. So typically when I talk about autonomy with business owners, it really does create some anxiety. Usually it's like, hold on, like I need to have some control over what's happening. Otherwise they're going to like take advantage of me. So, you know, the question you might ask yourself is what fear or belief keeps you from giving more autonomy? Another one might be, could you try a local experiment that might allow for more autonomy? You know, local experiments are a great way to introduce change into an organization without huge consequences. A local experiment is where you take a small section of the company or two or three people, and you give it a time-bound container and you say, hey, for a period of 6 to 8 weeks or 3 months, we're going to try X and here's how it's going to look. I want you to run that experiment. At the end, we're going to do an after-action review and we're going to see what worked, what didn't. We're going to see if we want to try it again or make it a larger experiment or try it with the whole company or whatever. So these are other things you can do that create opportunities to introduce new kinds of freedom. And then you can test it and see, wow, the team loved it, but as a manager, I hated it. And you're like, okay, so what would need to change in order for this to work for you? All right, then we're going to talk about empowerment. Empowerment is fundamentally about trust. I can honestly say I don't think that an organization can function without it. I've seen organizations lose trust at the highest levels and the whole thing falls apart. And there are like too big to fail kinds of organizations that have still failed over trust alone. So trust is really interesting. There was a great experiment by an auto manufacturer in Europe, a German company, that manufactured they were tier three auto manufacturer, meaning they supplied parts to somebody else that supplied parts to auto manufacturers. And it was like brakes and suspension pads or something. And they got rid of managers. They got rid of all their managers. And at one time they had a tool storage room where all the tools could be rented out, and they had to fill things out in triplicate, and it was locked, and there was a cage, and they had to rent them, and then they get fined or penalized if they didn't return it on a certain time. And a new CEO came in and said, you know what, forget this. We're going to go radical trust. So what he did is he's basically opened all the doors, got rid of the doors, got rid of the person who checks things out. He basically had a sign that said, if you need a tool for any reason at all, even if you want to take it home, you can borrow it, just return it. And so it was, you know, wide open. One day, let me actually skip ahead here. One day, a drill was stolen and was not returned. And so the CEO simply posted this sign outside the storage place. A drill was stolen. You know that a matter of principle, we would fire anybody for stealing toilet paper. So this is a stupid thing to do, especially when no one has ever denied them permission to borrow a tool for even for an evening or a weekend. That was the only thing the sign said. From that point on, they didn't close everything out. They didn't change. From that point on, a tool never went missing from the shop ever. And they just kept that sign there permanently so that people knew, like, hey, no need to steal. You can borrow it anytime you want. And so a really fascinating thing happens, which is there is this theory called X and Y management. And they've done lots and lots of research on it. And what they found is that the fundamental question they were trying to ask was, are employees inherently lazy, unmotivated, and dishonest? Or are employees inherently highly motivated, honest, and trustworthy? Which do you think it was? They found conclusive research. Which do you think it was?
I would think that it's the latter, unless an employer behaves in a way that causes them to become demotivated.
Okay. So, what they found was it is 100% based on what management believes. So if management believes that employees are inherently lazy, unmotivated, or liars, they will produce those very things. They will get employees that behave that way. And when management believes they're inherently motivated, positive, hardworking, they get those employees. So effectively, what you believe is what you will create. And that's been verified through a bunch of research. So you know, this is me kind of at a much higher level. As you know, late as we go through these trainings, I get really tactical and practical later. But I always like to start the entire training cadre with just a really high level understanding of what kinds of things are happening, what trends are going on, and then we can dig in deeper if you want, or we can migrate off of this topic entirely and talk about anything else that's on your mind. But I just wanted to give you a little bit of orientation today on the emotional system, what kinds of things are driving it, what are the trends, and then we can explore from there. So comments, questions, thoughts?
I actually started your program back in December watching videos where we actually jumped in here with your leadership training. And from day one, I knew I was going to just start adopting it because everything else I was doing wasn't working. And it has been night and day. Once I realized what I need to do to fulfill my employees or help them grow that step by having these strategy meetings and these forums and town halls that we never really did before. One, it even gives me a chance to stop looking at emails, turning everything off and just being with my employees for an hour and a half. It's an investment. But I feel like night and day, it's just like all of a sudden my company, it's not heavy anymore as an owner. It's just not, it doesn't feel heavy. The tasks sometimes feel heavy, but now I feel like I have 22 wonderful women behind me that's on this trip with me.
Well, I should grab that as a clip for my endorsements. Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that, Davia. That's amazing. Congratulations on taking it so seriously. Not everybody does. Some people do, some people don't. So anytime I see somebody take it on and really implement it, I'm thrilled because I know it can definitely have that impact. And it sounds like you've found some really practical ways to make what is sort of abstract live in the organization.
It's just taking a minute to make sure that I wrap my head around it. And I have to realize that not every minute work spent has to be working and making money. That was my thing, that we had to produce a profit. We had to do this. We had to constantly do this. No, I've got to recreate systems that are usable, understandable. But at the same time, I had the best compliment today in one of our strategy meetings, that they said that I supported them in a meeting with a customer. And I didn't even realize I was doing it because I was implementing the strategies. She said that she felt so supported. And Jessica, what was her words? I don't know if Jessica's in here.
She just said that it was nice that she had come from toxic previous employment. And it was really nice to feel like, even though she wasn't coming to us for help, she had sent us an email saying this is how she felt and this is what was happening. And, you know, just so we weren't blindsided in a provider meeting. And it was just really nice having a boss that supports her and that has her back, even when she's not necessarily asking for it.
Outstanding. And what was it you did, Davia, that produced this?
She
literally just told her that it was okay. And that, you know, it wasn't, because basically it was the employee was calling the insurance to get benefits for the new year. And the insurance representative gave them benefits multiple times. But when our employee was going back to the patient saying, hey, this is what your insurance said your benefits are, the employee was like, well, no, that's not what they should be. And so she just felt like that was happening a few times. So Davia had just let her know, you know, that's what happens in the beginning of the year. All insurances aren't updated, you know. And so our employee basically was saying, you didn't come at me saying, oh, well, you should have gotten the right benefit or that it's your fault. You just really made me feel supported that I was doing my job correctly and that sometimes it just takes a couple tries or to work with the patient or that it's not always our fault, even though it feels that way.
It came up in a provider meeting about a week later, and the provider brought it up about mismatching and stuff. And I just jumped in and said, just to start off, this is not, the funny thing is the girl's name is Davia as well. This is not Davia's fault. This happens to everybody. And I think me just jumping in and saying that, because again, from last week, my thing is to save. I want to prevent them from getting all that. I guess at that time, it was the right time for me to jump in and save and let them know that this is not Davia's doing. So she's Davia A, I'm Davia W.
Cool.
And the nice thing was that our employee, just to kind of feed off that, our employee was definitely being harder on herself than anybody else was, because that practice, that provider also stepped in and was like, we love your work and we know that it's not you. And it's not like you're intentionally giving wrong information. You know, you're just relaying information. And so I think just the overwhelming support really made a difference with our employee. And that felt really good.
Outstanding. Love to hear that. Davia, remind me again, what's your revenue, annual revenue for your company, your business?
1.1 right now. We're going to do 2 this year. We're going to do it.
Congrats. Awesome.
Thank you.
Very cool. Awesome. Okay. Who else? Who else has something they want to talk about? Yes, Dorothy.
Cool. So this is amazing. And it's very timely for me too, because I am leaving tomorrow to go out to Portland to spend a little time in person with our media buyer, Rohan. And this will be our first time meeting in person. He's been working for me for probably 9 months. And so I guess my question would be sort of 2 parts. So first, like, you know, we're going to be sitting down to lunch and then going on this little excursion thing. And I think that it'd be a great opportunity to kind of have this conversation with him around fulfillment and growth. So interested in any, like, you know, kind of tips you have on like how to approach that conversation, like in that real, very real situation at lunch on Friday. And then part 2 would be, I've been thinking so much about what you said on the call, I think 2 weeks ago, about like talking about like personal lives at work. And I think like because I like don't come from corporate, like it was kind of like a new awareness for me of like, oh, wow, like that is true that not everyone wants to talk about their personal lives. So I guess I'm interested to know, like, when we're just like hanging out, how do I toe that line of like us like getting to know each other better and like, you know, creating deeper bonds while not like, I guess it made me nervous of like, oh, I don't want to like ask a question that he doesn't want to answer. Like, you know, yeah, you get it.
Yeah, I'd say a couple things. One is, if you haven't already, make sure he takes the 5 leadership languages quiz. That'll give you like an immediate snapshot of like, if he's got connection as a really high score, then you know he's all about sharing life. He's got boundaries really high, then you know it's not like a hard rule where you're like, don't ask any questions. It just means you're going to get down to business. You're going to focus more on that, and you're going to reveal your life to the extent you feel comfortable, but you're not going to require that he reveals his life, right? So I would just say that's a really quick way to calibrate. If you don't want to do that, you can just simply ask him, hey, when you go to work, how do you feel about, you know, when you come to work, are you here to kind of get work done? Or are you the kind of person who's more like, I really need to build a relationship beyond work in order for me to be motivated? You can ask it that way too. Sometimes they're not as honest. They don't know what the right answer is. So that's why the quiz is better, because it's a little more indirect and it's strategically placed. So anyway, that's one thing I would encourage you to do. As it relates to the 3 jobs, you know, I think it's super helpful. And I'm glad that David did this. I think I recommend everybody should do this. Just anytime you hire somebody, you're going to say, or when you're starting to do this work, you would just say, hey, I recognize that I've hired you to do 1 of 3 jobs that you have already, 2 of which you've had since you're born. You're going to have them till you die, but I care about them even while you're with me. And that is, I know you're here on this planet to find your purpose and be fulfilled. And you're here on this planet to grow and learn. And I'd love to know, where do you find the most fulfillment? When in your career have you felt most fulfilled? So that's a good question to start with. And then you could say, what are some things you want to get better at or you'd like to learn in the next year? What are some things as you're reaching for what's next? What's your sense of what you might need to learn? And just those 2 questions alone, even asking those 2 questions, doesn't even matter what the answers are. Just asking the questions demonstrates that you care. And it's also possible that they'll say something that becomes actionable, that you can be like, oh, that's great, because I have this training or this conference or this expert that I can introduce you to or whatever, right? But I don't think you have to go in with that expectation. You just want to go in and plant the seed gently. You probably want to do the 5 leadership languages as a great conversation tool. You want to reveal yours. You know, you could certainly have them take the Enneagram if you haven't, now that you have fluency in that. And you could probably use that as another conversation. So on the human side of things, that's how I would do that. I don't know that you have to over-engineer it beyond that. But those are like, I would have like a section where you do some of that. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Well, yeah, good. No problem. Good. Who else? Anybody want to give an update? Or ask a question? It's fine too.
I'll jump in. I lead a weekly leadership meeting with my team, but I restructured it and tested and this was the first week that we started I started implementing that structure, and it was amazing. I walked away from that meeting just feeling so confident, and also like we actually have a structure now to tackle some of these ongoing projects and immediate actions that we just need to stay on top of as a team. So it was really good.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I often when people implement it, they're like, oh, it was a little rocky, it was a little tricky, I didn't feel great about it. So I'm happy to hear you felt really good. Did you do a like best next time?
I did. Well, I closed the meeting we ran over time, of course, but I just did a check-in. Hey, does everybody like this new format? Anything we need to change moving forward? And everybody was like, no, this was great. Let's keep doing it.
Okay, good. So as you get better, make sure you get really good at keeping the time. That's one of the most powerful things. When you get the time right. If you manage the timekeeping role properly, and by the way, you as a leader don't have to do that. You can assign it to someone. You can just say, hey, this week I need you to be the timekeeper. I'm going to put this much time on the clock. You can get it down to a place where you never go over time, where you're just getting so good at harnessing what's happening and making the conversations more efficient. So that's great.
Right.
And then I would definitely.
Oh, I will say the reason we went over time is because everybody got really engaged and excited about the discussion we were having. So I was like, is everybody good to stay? So we just kept the good thing is like, yeah, I saw this that engagement good. That I'd never seen before. So
that's
that
great. Was cool. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. If you're seeing that, that makes a lot of sense. And if you're getting a lot of consent, but yeah, that's great. Awesome. The other thing is the like best next time is super helpful when you structure it in the active pass. So instead of just how did everybody feel? When you force somebody to, everyone's looking at them and they have to say the word pass, they will be more likely to share openly what it was. And you're also framing it as, what did you like best and what do you want to see done better next time? And that little structure and the way that I've told people to structure it is how you optimize that meeting. And it just gets better and better and tighter and more engaging. But many congrats. Super happy to hear that. You did awesome.
No, thank you. Thank you for the tips.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. Okay.
I did change my meeting where I'm just doing my weekly meetings at each campus instead of bringing the other campus in on Zoom. And we just did in person. And then it was only like 7 of us.
Okay.
So much better. And then once a month, I'll Zoom in both campuses so we know what's going on. It'll be more of a town hall type meeting.
Perfect. Perfect.
What's going on at both campuses and they're aware what's happening so we can stay on track. So that seemed to work out better. So now I'll start doing that structure you talked about next week. So
awesome. Awesome. Yeah. That's a great idea. Yeah. That meeting was too big for sure.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Congrats.
Yeah. So that was good.
Good.
So.
Okay. Who else? Anything else going on?
I guess my update is that I am pivoting a little bit with my manager. And she kind of floated this, I don't know, like a little bit of a different role by me. And she's like, would you be interested in doing this? And I was like, yes, of course. And I would be interested in doing a lot of that, but I sort of realized like, if we're dealing with layoffs, part of what I'm really good at is business development and revenue generation. And so like, maybe I should remind her of that. Cause I can literally pay for myself if I need to by just generating new business. And I do think that she had forgotten that because she was like, oh yeah, you haven't mentioned that to me directly. I was like, yep, I can, like, here's a list of things that I am going to do in terms of just trying to see where we can get some additional business from this group that we're not necessarily fully engaged with. And so I think that's going over really well. But I'm still not totally sure what's going to happen with the full team and how that's going to end up. I guess how the reductions are going to shake out. So still waiting on that part, but just trying to pay for myself in the meantime.
Good job being proactive. That's good. That's great.
I thought I had a question and I couldn't remember it when I actually joined this meeting. So we'll see. I remember.
Awesome. Okay. Who else? Anybody else?
I'll just share a quick update. Lisa, our new director of operations, it's been phenomenal so far. She's been, you know, just kind of gain up speed in the background. Like she's been super proactive. Like she put time on my calendar to show me this like 90-day roadmap that she put together. And she's been basically like reviewing the recordings of all the client calls after they happen. And then, you know, delegating all the tasks and submitting notes and everything. And anyway, I'm just super impressed. And it's been a great start. So I want to share that.
Congrats. That's great. Is she feeling better?
Yeah. So she had another vertigo episode last Monday. No issues so far this week. But honestly, like, I think first of all, I think there's a silver lining in all this, and that I think it would have been the right decision either way to have her kind of like have more time kind of behind the scenes to get acclimated. But it also, you know, it occurred to me like with how effective she's been, even in literally her first 2 weeks of like reviewing call recordings and then like, you know, taking action on those in terms of project management, you know, even if this was an ongoing issue and there was, you know, a day every couple weeks or something where she isn't able to be on calls, you know, it's kind of eased my mind that, you know, that would be something that would be pretty manageable. And it'd be different if like, I was kind of lukewarm about how she's like been doing otherwise, but she's been amazing. So, yeah.
Outstanding. Glad to hear it.
Thank you.
Outstanding. Other updates?
Since we're kind of just, we have a lot of extra time, I guess, another thing that I did was based on our last chat about, you know, I know that these people are going to potentially, well, I know a couple of people who are definitely going to be impacted by the layoffs and other people, I'm not sure. And so, you know, when I'm doing all these one-on-ones and being really intentional about how we're talking about like tactical items versus short-term goals and long-term goals and talking to them about their career trajectory and like how I can support them in that way. I've changed my own mindset and just instead of like, okay, how do I lay the foundation so that we can, you know, dig into these things more together as we move forward. I'm kind of like, okay, how do I refocus my mind so I can make the most impact immediately? And what I thought was really interesting when I did that, I almost feel like that's a better mindset to have regardless of whether I knew this or not, because I can, like, I'm asking some more direct questions during those one-on-ones to try and figure out what's important to people so that I can really hone in and help them. And I'm like, I should be doing this anyway, because it just seems more worthwhile for everyone's time overall versus trying to, you know, create like a, just like a, I mean, not that I'm not trying to create a deeper relationship, but I know that the time is limited. So I'm trying to help as much as possible instead of focusing on creating the deeper relationship first. So I kind of don't care if they, you know, feel like they know me and trust me. I'm just going to give them my perspective and advice and help them to create some goals for themselves and then see where it goes. And I've gotten some good feedback from people that it's really nice. So that was something I wanted to share just based on your advice last time, Shane. And then if anyone else is doing one-on-ones to maybe try that mindset shift, you know, if I have limited time with this person, what's the most I can do to help them in the shortest amount of time? And I think I'm going to do that, like I said, regardless of, you know, people's tenure, how long I have with them moving forward. I thought that was
right. Super cool. Awesome. Glad to hear it.
That's officially all I have. I can't remember what my question was at all.
We're doing an updates call apparently, which is good. Still useful. Awesome. The other thing that I wanted to, that I think I can talk about, this could impact some of you, is there's a bonus called How to Measure Employee Engagement. And because we're talking about the emotional system today, employee engagement is one of the most, like, measuring it is the only way to truly get access to what's actually happening in the emotional system. Measuring it the right way is really critical. And I just wanted to flag that for you. I think last week I introduced a tool, maybe, I don't know when it was, some time ago, I introduced a tool called 15.5. Did we talk about 15.5? I think we may have, for those of you who missed. Anyway, there's a tool called 15.5.com. They do performance management and employee engagement stuff. And for different price points, whatever, you can get them to run a survey. Now, you could do a SurveyMonkey, you could do a Google Surveys. The reason I don't recommend trying to build your own and doing it for free is because you miss critical benchmarks. So when you're measuring employee engagement and you know that you got a, 37 out of 100 on salaries, you might go, oh no, this is terrible. Our team really hates our salaries. But if you have an external benchmark, a company that does employee engagement using the exact same questions standardized across your entire industry or an industry similar to yours, and you realize that everybody else has 27% engagement, you suddenly know it's not actually a major problem in your employee engagement. It's a thing that is, you're outperforming the benchmark. So that's the reason that I recommend using a tool. I think you can do it annually or quarterly. And if you use like Office Vibe or 15.5, or there's others, Lattice, but all of them have sort of a standardized employee engagement survey. So you don't have to build the questions, think about what you're supposed to ask. They're almost always research backed. And if you just get into a habit of regularly administering that to your team, if your team is less than five, you shouldn't bother because it's too small. But if you've got enough people, they'll suppress data under five people. Otherwise, it's not anonymous. But if you have enough people, it's something I highly recommend. And when you measure it and then you reveal it, the critical thing is you have to show the company that you did it. They will start to take it more seriously. And they'll start looking for evidence of how to improve it and how to drive it. So anyway, just wanted to flag that for you, that that's another bonus. I think I recommend a different tool in the bonus than I do now because I found this one more recently. So I recommend this one more than the tools that I suggest in the bonus. But the bonus has a ton of very useful, like best practices, mistakes to avoid. And it really is very light lifting for your team. Like it's a 5-minute survey is it, and it's light lifting for you. Once it's set up once, you can literally just schedule it to be sent out every quarter, and you just, a couple of reminders, and then you just want to check in and check the results to see how you guys are doing and what's driving what. That's another way to truly outperform other companies in this world that are struggling to keep up with motivating team members. So wanted to flag that for you. Some of you I know are the business owners, some of you I know are more middle managers. So, those things are applied differently. You may have a company that already does it for you, that's fine. But if you're an owner, something I highly recommend you implement if you have a team that's bigger than five. All right. Any other questions? Anything else pressing? If not, we can go our separate ways. We'll close out a little early today, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. Let me see what's happening next week. What are we doing? So next week we'll go deeper into culture, mission, vision, values, that kind of stuff. There's some things in the modules that I have updated. I haven't updated it in the modules. So on the next call, I'm going to give you a slightly different, it's a more expanded framework for you to be working with. So it's a little more updated. So we'll look forward to talking about that next week and helping you guys implement that in your organizations. Okay. So going once, going twice, sold. All right. Thanks, everybody. Great to be with you. Have a good week. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.